Join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
All right, welcome to the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. We are your hosts, Tim and Christina Madden. Hope everyone's having a great day. So, hey, we are typically, if you're watching live right now, we are typically in the podcast studio, but we forgot to do the update on the computer. So sorry about that. Blame Microsoft. Microsoft, we were ready, but the computer had to do a 10-minute update. So we were ready.
Microsoft was not ready. So here we go.
We're ready. So hey, we're going to make sure Christina had to talk right into this mic. So when people listen to it over the internet, they can hear us very closely. Excellent, everyone. So hey, if you don't know us, we are Tim and Christina Madden. We help individuals get the job, keep the job, be successful at the job. And today we're talking about money, right? And how to get more money. But before we do that, hey, as always, here's my, you already know, people send me emails about this. This is my time to beg for reviews right now. It's okay. So give me 20 seconds. Hey, we are on episode 135 right now. If you have got value from this podcast, do me a favor, leave me a 5-star review over on Apple iTunes. It's on our vision board this year to be a top 100 podcast. And unfortunately, even though people watch us in 64 countries, Apple only cares about how many reviews you got. So do me a favor, help us out. And as always, if you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. So again, we are 1,300 multiple interviews in to 2024 for our clients, 250 offers accepted. Christina, before we start talking about money, what do you think about that testimonial we shared on the Team Sync today?
That was incredible. So that was what, jog my memory here, $40,000 increase in
$140,000 increase
for
an SVP of transformation through our automated system.
Wow. $140,000 increase.
As always, hey, if you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. Let's get started on the reason you tune it in today. Hey, salary negotiation, talking about this, right? Because you need to be reminded about these tactics and strategies. So if you're approaching this stage, right, you know what to do fundamentally. But what you don't know is it actually starts before you even start talking to the company, right? So we're giving you 4 tips on salary negotiation. We might give you some bonus tips. Christina's going to kick us off, but I will just say this. If you are approaching an offer and don't know what to do, go on over to execupgrades.com so we can help you. But Christina, you wanted to first talk about something because it goes in line with no matter what you're doing, you're going on the interview, right? You're trying to do your daily activity or you're approaching the offer. Where do we even get started with this so we can be in a good position?
Yeah, great question. It happens to be one of my favorite topics. But before I dive into that, I did want to ask you, and you may not even know, but do you know, you may not know offhand, but do you know what negotiation went into that offer that you were just talking about? The 140?
I do not. D actually helped negotiate that one. Mm. Yeah.
We have a negotiation expert on the team, guys, but I was just curious before we kicked off. I'd be really interested to know, but we have other offers.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up because there's actually something that's a better way to kick this off because a lot of people, here's what happens. Number one, when we start talking about money, people always just think of the base salary and that's like all they think about. So I just wanted to quickly run through when we go through our salary certification program, which we have, which we make our clients go through. Hey, let's go through everything. We got base, annual bonus, sign-on bonus, accelerated or kickers, vacation, co-working or telework, relocation, stock options, restricted stock awards, cashless exercises, stock without cash, extended exercises, early exercise, time-based compensation increase, health benefits, personal benefits, travel, professional memberships, currency, ability to consult with outside companies, clawback terms, headcount terms, milestone, funding participation.
Yeah, people just really forget about all those things, you know?
And severance agreements. right? If you're at a high level. Most people, they think of, oh, the offer was 185 and I'm targeting whatever. There's so many things here that you can talk about.
So let me, okay. So what Tim was going to pass off to me was talking about money mindset. It goes in line with what he's saying, right? So we forget about all these other things normally because we're in a lack mindset as it is. We're in this like scarcity mindset. I would say more often than not, and Tim, you probably agree with me. I would say most people that I talk to that have made really high salaries in the past, when they find us and they've gone into like a lot of rejection and they're not finding their role, they're almost in a place where they're ready to immediately settle. The things I hear are, I just need another job. Even if I have to go back to, you know, even if I have to take a demotion or a cut in my salary or whatever. So some of the questions I encourage you to think about, I'm not going to get too much into this because we want to talk about negotiation specifically, but be asking yourself right now, as you're listening to this, is what are your thoughts about money? Some of them might be coming to mind right now, which is like, there's not enough. I'm not worth XYZ amount of money. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. What are some funny ones that, you know, that some of us are conditioned from childhood? It's like, oh my gosh, Grant Cardone talks about them all the time. They're escaping me right now. It's like a penny earned is a penny saved. And, you know, these funny things that we hear when we're growing up really do condition us to, like the other day, I was leaving a hotel, you guys, and I was like, I want to take all these little shampoo samples. I just really like them. I'll put them in my travel bag. It's all these just like little things. And I'm like, my grandma should show me how to do that. Right. And it really does come from this like scarcity thing. So are you thinking in abundance or are you in a scarcity mindset? Is it, there's never enough. There's not enough to go around. Things are scary. There's a lot of fear. And this will impact how you think about what you're worth in the market and how you, negotiate. So when you get an offer or even just when you're going through an interview, all of this starts to show up. Rachel, definitely the not worth X amount of money and turns out I was worth so much more. That is what we hear time and time again when we talk about offers like what Tim is talking about. Like that person, I can't speak to that person exactly. I'm sorry, but most of the time people come in thinking I'm not worth that. I'm never going to find that. No one's going to pay me that. And then at the end, it's like, oh my gosh, thank God I didn't settle. You know, I'm actually worth so much more. So write down three thoughts that you know you battle with about money. What are they?
Because here's why.
Think about it. You have to talk about it. You have to have awareness about it. Because you, if you want to make more money, you have to talk about money. So go ahead, Tim.
The reason why we want to bring this up first is everyone wants the stuff. No, Christina, I got it. Just tell me what to say.
Yeah.
Please know that the plan matters and the strategy matters and what you say matters. The fitness plan matters. But most people, can we agree, don't fail because they don't have the great fitness plan. They fail because they never get started, or they fail because they lack self-discipline in their lives. Makes sense. So what Rachel said, hold on one sec, Christina. So what Rachel said is, hey, you know, I didn't feel like I was worth that for whatever reason. So therefore, if you have these strategies, you're still going to have that in the back of your head. That's like, I'm not even worth this. So what's the point anyway? One thing that we deal with here, and I'll let you take back over, Christina, is a lot of people who think they're just older in their career and they think that's holding them back. And every day they wake up and they say, I'm so old. No one's going to hire me. I'm so old. So the plan doesn't matter at this point because you're still stuck in your head. So Christina's trying to help you. Like, how can I not get stuck in my head so I can have certainty and confidence, right? And then utilize these strategies so that they actually work.
Yeah. And also make a decision right now that you're not going to let external forces impact your way of thinking either. Cause I'm sure you're surrounded by people that are like, no one's paying that. Oh, that role doesn't make that much anymore or whatever. So be careful who you're taking your advice from. Katrine, hope I'm saying that right. I know what I'm worth, but when negotiating, it is so hard to stand your ground when you don't know what offers are in the future. Hey, yeah, that's normal. That's a normal fear. You don't know when the next offer is maybe coming in. So this is why you need to be able to know how to negotiate. So if the offers come in, you're not exactly happy with it, stay on this podcast, because that's what we're going to talk about, the skills to be able to negotiate the offer higher. And if you are in financial urgency, guys, you might be taking a role, you know, that is less money that you want, and just let that be okay while you stay in the job search. That's for people that are in a real financial, you know, urgent situation.
I think one thing that's really interesting to talk about is Rachel was kind of maybe, say, fearful about, like, I don't know if I'm worth that. So that's one type of fear, but really Katrin's fear is future paced. How do I know I'm making the right decision? So see how so many things can affect our mindset. It could be like our self-confidence or self-worth, or it could be just like fear of missing out, right? Of the future.
And if some of this mindset stuff is hitting home, which I know it always does, be sure you're on our email list. You guys might already be. Go over, hit the website. Christy will drop a link to get on our email list, because I'm doing a mindset workshop specifically to talk about these topics on July 7th. So right after the 4th of July holiday, you'll be able to spend 3 hours with me unpacking all of these mindset topics to just improve your, you know, your thoughts about yourself and to increase your belief lid in the marketplace. Now, Tim, a popular question is, hey, what am I worth? Okay. And now that depends on a lot of factors in terms of what you're targeting. Do you want to talk about
really
that?
Easy.
Do you want to talk really about easy. That as far as
absolutely. But first I want to make sure we have this date right. So July 7th is a Sunday. Are we doing it on Tuesday the 9th or July Thursday 9th. The 11th?
Sorry, guys. July 9th.
No problem. July 9th.
It'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern until 4 p.m. Eastern. And you will get emails about that. So be on the email list. Yeah.
Stay tuned. We will drop the link for you next week. So let's get into it. Okay. First, how do we determine what we're worth, right? First, I want to say this. What is fair? Here's the problem. Okay. Most people, when they go into a job search, they don't even have a number in their mind. One of the things that it took a long time for me and Christina to learn is money's actually made up. And it took us, we heard this concept like 1,000 times, and then one time it just clicked. Like, how do companies price their products and services? It's kind of made up. How do you price yourself? It's kind of made up. How do you come up with the consulting thing? Now, Fortune 500 companies, hey, maybe it's they need to make this amount of margin. That's still kind of a made up number. Hey, does Salesforce want to make a 20% margin or a 30% margin? They pretty much just made that up. So let's just agree the numbers are kind of made up anyway, right? It's the value, because if my budget for a car is $900, but I want also the leather interior and the sunroof, is it worth $1,000 to me? Yes, it is. I think that's a fair deal. So what you're looking for really in this negotiation, the best deals are when everyone thinks like they're getting a good deal. I want to start here. This is your first tip, regardless of what anyone else tells you. Okay. The first tip is both people should get a good deal. And a good deal is not just money. What does the company care about more, money or value? What do you think it is? Do you think it's the money or do you think it's the value? They're probably worried about enterprise value. So I think the best relationships are started out when the company thinks they're getting a fair deal and you think you're getting a fair deal. You can still negotiate and get a fair deal. The problem is this. No matter what you make, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, it doesn't matter. That number is just kind of a made up number, okay? So when you get that offer, how do you know it's a fair offer? You are gonna have to determine that in your head. Now, maybe I look at the offer and say, hey, I think that's to be a fair offer due to marketplace. That doesn't mean you think it's a fair offer, right? So how do you know when you're getting a good deal? Me and Christina were about to look at a house that was, can we just say, ridiculously overpriced.
But well, a fair deal in this market, but
maybe a fair deal in this market, but it was so overpriced, right? But really, we were like, what did we say? In one day, you were like, we got to get this house. We have to go. So it wasn't, can we agree? It was not even about the money. It was about the location. It was about the different things. So you're going to have to start to.
It was like every custom detail that I'd be looking to have if I were to build a custom home, right? So like the value for me with that was obviously a lot of save time, a lot of headache. And it was like my dream situation. I then came to my senses. You're welcome, Tim. But yeah, so we know when we were getting the Peloton treadmill, was it worth spending, what was it, $3,000 more for the extra technology to protect my low back because I'm healing like a disc issue?
Cloud technology.
In my vehicle, I have, you know, whatever. So what Tim's point is what he's making is that people are willing to pay a reasonable amount more than what you might think for value.
Correct. But that's why part of the number one tip is you have to know how to interview well, and you have to have creativity and confidence, and you have to know how to build extreme value in the gap. If you want to get a fair offer and cap yourself at the marketplace, it doesn't start with salary negotiations. It starts with mindset and interview techniques and strategies. So if you're looking to do that in the future, definitely go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast, okay? Because, hey, the best offers, you get a fair deal, the company gets a fair deal as well, okay? Because so many times I talk to people that are excited, not excited, and I say, do you believe this is a fair offer? Those are the best ways to start relationships. Okay, number two. The first real tip though, even though it's tip number two, okay? Always have the other person go first. Do not get in these weird situations where a CEO is starting a new department or they let someone go. They don't have something identified, something. So best tip is they present you an offer. Now, this is going to happen most of the time for everyone here, right? They're just going to present you an offer first, but always have them present an offer. If they say, hey, come up with the ballpark, come up with this, do not ever do that. It never works out well. Okay. So some tips would be the CEO gets a hold of you. So, hey, tip number two, if you just get an offer, great. Don't have to worry about this. But I know a lot of you work with us, get jobs to the hidden market and, you know, lots of different ways where they want you to build your own compensation plan. CEO says, Christina, we love you. We want to build your own compensation plan. Hey, I'm not sure. Just, you know, send us something, et cetera. Don't do that. Say, hey, absolutely. Just so I can better assist, right? Can you let me know generally what you were thinking for a salary range? Hey, generally, how much vacation do VPs get? Generally, what's the stock options? Generally, see how I'm doing this? Then I have ranges. Don't get yourself in a situation, because I know so many times we got these executives going through all these interview loops. Then they're building out a new department. The CEO asks them, you send anything, whether it's 250 or 500, you send all your stuff. And he was like, why? He didn't have a number in mind. So if he comes up with a number, you're going to be more apt to get the deal done. So never negotiate without the other party giving you something first. That makes sense to everyone? Super important.
Tim, you know how I always tell people, like, pick an industry, not a job, if you're unclear, you know, mm-hmm. on what you really want to target. All of this that we're talking about, right? Like it's across the board. You have the value. You can negotiate what you want, like, period. If you interview well and you have the value, you can negotiate what you want. That's just, we know that to be true. But all that aside, now when I ask questions, it's for my own curiosity, but it's also because I like to ask questions that I think listeners might be asking, like, well, what industry is paying the most? And I think a lot of us can agree that that might look like technology, et cetera. So go ahead.
It's absolutely technology. Absolutely. No doubt about it. By a long shot.
Okay.
So and we're not saying technology professionals. We're really saying any domain in the Internet of Things, cloud-based companies. And the good news is, no matter what you do, sales, marketing, finance, ops, et cetera, you can work at one of these organizations, mainly because their margins are just so much higher than a traditional packaging company, manufacturing company that still does over nine figures a year.
I got that phrase from the book, The Startup of You by Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn. But when you pick an industry and not a job and you think about it that way, then that makes you an investor in the job market, right? So I feel like that's very empowering. You know, that's what I would do if I was in a job hunt. I would be thinking, okay, where can I get the most money for my value? And then I would unpack it from there and start picking companies that really excite me and missions that excite me. And I would then identify my role. I'm going a little off topic here, but that usually hits home for people too. Like, okay, if I don't even know what I'm going to target, why don't I target who will already have the capacity to pay me higher salaries? So that might be something to think about.
Yeah.
A technology, what do you think is a close second to that right now?
Good question. I think just technology is just so far ahead of everyone. Well, it's said statistically, right? Financial services.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's probably always a good one. Probably always been a good one.
The most millionaires, financial services, over tech. So over tech. Number three, always negotiate through email. And review offers with trusted experts. Listen, if you're a director, VP, or an executive, and you get an offer for 300K and RSUs and all of this, to not spend, I know here we charge 2,000, 2,500, 3,000. I can't remember off the top of my head, just to negotiate your salary. But if you're going after a multiple six-figure job and you're not, you don't have anything to compare it to, you don't know what to say, et cetera. Hey, if you don't get help from us, get help somewhere. Get help from a friend, get help from a mentor, get help from someone. Because think about this, a 10% increase is $30,000. Imagine getting an extra $30,000, let's just say on the low end, a couple extra days of vacation, maybe your medical benefits paid for, maybe something for, just think about it. All right, there's so many things to negotiate. So if you just get 2% more on your bonus, a little more RSUs, a little bit on your base, hey, it quickly can calculate up to $100,000. So okay, one of the go ahead.
All right, what about somebody like Katrine who, okay, now the offer came in and you're like, oh, I'm just going to take it. I'm not even going to negotiate this because I'm just too scared. And they're going to just say no, and then I'm going to lose the offer. I know we've talked about this on previous episodes. And we have essentially never seen that happen. It's either
just like anything in life. There's an art. That's why we have that episode. That's our most watched salary negotiation episode on all of our podcasts. So many downloads across the world. I believe it's The Art of Salary Negotiation. I don't remember what episode it is, but by far it beats everything. There are ways to negotiate things without losing the deal. And the way we do it here at Career Upgrades is we ask for more, Christina, but at the end of the email, we say something like, hey, Christina, I don't want money or compensation, though, stay in the way of us partnering together, right? And I would be absolutely open to having a phone call. So it's really like, no matter what you ask for, as long as you say at the end, like, hey, I don't want money to come in between this compensation, et cetera, they won't be as offended when you ask for like $50,000 more, right? So it's one of the things of, hey, someone might read it and they're like, oh man, what are they thinking? Hey, say, see at the bottom, they don't want money or compensation to stand in it. They want to come to terms. They want to work together. They're really bought into the mission and values. So as long as you wrap it up with that, you're going to be fine, right? But here's what people do. They don't know what they're doing because a lot of people don't know how to negotiate in a way where they're not just trying to strong arm someone. Plus, think about this. Don't strong arm companies when you don't know what you're doing. I've seen people demand an extra 30K. I'm not doing this job for another 30K. And like kind of send emails like that. Even if the company does accept, Christina, how are you going to feel, Christina, if someone like, we really want to hire someone, they demand 20K, and let's say we do give it to them. How do you think that relationship starting out? Are you going to be extra critical on that person since they demanded all this more money to perform immediately? I already know your answer. You're not even going to hire the person.
Yeah, well, it would be the pain point would have to be so severe. Like I would need that person. And this does happen, like where it's needed so bad that, yeah, they'll go ahead and, you know, say, yeah, of course, we'll pay that because the pain point, they need a body in there, right? But to your point, yeah, you're not going to feel great about it. I'm not going to feel good about it. I'm going to feel it's just not going to be a healthy starting point. That's right.
Exactly.
So Rachel, yeah, FinTech Brett looking for pharma IT role. And he says, I'm always asked for a salary expectation.
No problem, Brett. Hey, great question. I'm just like Sam interviewing for with the FinTech company in Dallas. Hey, great question, Christina. I'm just looking for fair market value of what a VP of this should make in the tech industry in Dallas. That's what I'm looking for. But really what you do in another video where we break down salary negotiation, definitely go check us out. Oh, thank you, Christy. Episode 30 with a link in the chat. So what? Episode 30, the salary negotiation. When someone asks for that, Brett, actually step one, you're supposed to say, hey, that's a great question, Christina. Hey, what do you have budgeted for this role? That's your first question. And then if Christina says, you know, I don't know, you go to, I'm just looking for fair market value. Yep. No problem. Here's the good news. This literally works like 90% of the time. So a lot of people have so much anxiety over this, Brett, because a recruiter or a decision maker asks you, and then you just say, well, hey, what do normal directors make that are in this type of role organization-wide? And they say, hey, they make this to this. Great, that's within my range. If it's not within your range, remember, you can probably add 20% to whatever they tell you, and they're probably willing to negotiate up to that. Now, again, as long as you build value and you extend that gap and they really want to hire you. People, look at the federal government. We're always going to pay more for what we want. Did anyone pay more for their car, more for their house, more for their kids' education? People pay more
for
it.
That's why identifying the pain and having a great interview is the first step to negotiating your salary.
I already got an answer for you, Kevin. Any thoughts on this scenario where the headhunter checks in on the company budget, making sure, hey, Katrine, the max is 200, right? We deal with this all the time. I had this situation before ECU, and in essence, I gave a range for how long I would go depending on other companies as a total package. But if we move forward, how would I respond? So I would say this. Let's say, I believe, Katrine, we're asking, hey, the company asks about a budget before they move me in. Well, first, I need to know this, right? If they say it's 200, they can probably go to like 220 or a little higher. But remember, we have to have a reason as the candidate to go beyond the budget. That's where a lot of people fail. So the way you need to do that is, again, interview well, build extreme value in the gap. But most importantly, right, is whenever we have to find some knowledge that we didn't know before. So that's how we quantify that number. So let's say we interviewed well. Hey, you're right, Christina. 200 was a good number at this position later on when I get the offer in, Katrin. And I would say, but Christina, I didn't know that the team need a lot more help than I thought. You didn't mention the level of travel. You didn't mention that they had all of these deficiencies. You didn't mention all of these things. Like when we originally talked about it, you said you need to lead it to do this and this and this. Got that, worth 200. But after I met with everyone, there's these critical areas that I know I can solve, these critical areas. And based on that, I can make sense in my head of this because of the value I'm providing the company. See how that makes sense? It's not like, haha, got you. It's not like, yeah, 200's okay. I need 220, right? We have to make a claim. So that's one of the, we have to have a strong position. I hope that answers your question.
And to Rachel, I once accepted an offer because I didn't want any additional responsibilities that would come with a higher salary. Is that considered a smart move? Well, yes. I think so. Yes, because newsflash to everyone, most people, right? More money comes with more responsibility. So, you know, a lot of times we talk to people that are targeting, you could probably take this.
I have a situation.
Go ahead. Yeah.
A guy recently, he was making 200K working on site, working 60 hours a week, leading a large team, and he was burnt out. When he came to us, he said, Tim, I don't want to be a leader anymore. I want to work remote. I want to work 40 hours a week. And if you can get me as close as 200 to 200K as you can, that'd be great. I believe he got an offer of 185K. He worked remote 40 hours a week. He was happier than someone who got 100K increase, right? Because again, right? The money, you need the money. But money was not, so what's important to you is what we need to decide, right? And if you don't want to lead large teams and work all the time and have all these extra responsibilities and all this stuff, then who cares how much money you're getting, right? Mm-hmm. So to him, that was a huge win. That's why if you ever decide to schedule a call and partner with us, we always start on clarity. We're always like, hey, what is important to you? And a lot of people are always locked in on money. Money's important. Trust me. We know that. We talk about money all the time. Money's important. You know what else is important? Other things that matter to you in your life, such as, hey, are you representing a product or service that you truly believe in? Do you align with the company values? Do you align with the people at work? And so forth, right? There's so many factors. Because I guarantee right now, everyone would give up a little bit of money if they could get more fulfillment out of work. Just the fact. We never have, we had 19,000 people schedule calls with us last year. That's even crazy to say. Less than 0.001%. Christina said, hey, everything's going great at my job. You know, I love my company. Everything's great. But I just really need a job making 20 more K. We never filled those calls. You know what we filled a lot of? Tell them what we filled a lot of, Christina.
We filled a lot of I'm burnt out, depressed, and I'm failing. And even just on our team meeting, we were like, hey, write down all the reasons you can think of that a person would buy this product. And it's funny, on the top of my list was more money, right? But that's just because I'm a money-driven person behind a product that I believe in. And I'm a business owner. Obviously, I'm tracking money. But anyways, I'm looking at the chat and I'm listening to everybody. We're up to like 50 reasons and money hadn't even come up. So what does that tell you, right? It was about relationships, networking, belief, confidence, how to have interpersonal skills, a complete life transformation. So that's what people typically get out of this. Now, don't confuse this with if you are somebody who has really big financial goals. So if like, if you think about your financial goals or like the kind of lifestyle you want, if your lifestyle, like the vacation, the home, the things that you might want, I mean, those do need to be in line with what you're targeting, right? Because this is a whole different conversation, but you do have to have goal alignment with your target. So think about it. What kind of home do you want? How many times are you vacationing? What's a comfortable amount? It's all made up. So you get to do what you want here. What's a comfortable amount for the bank account? Like, where am I going financially? But yeah, you don't want to ever take a position that you're going to be miserable in just for the money, especially if you're not a money-driven person.
Hey, so number three was, you know, always negotiate through email, and subtopic A, typically get help with it. But number four, you also need to know when to negotiate. You also need to know, and you also have to sleep one day on it. It's okay. Meaning, hey, if you get that offer today, you get the offer, okay? Number one, I'm going to tell you this. If you think it's a good offer, accept it. Just accept it. I always tell people, we don't have to negotiate every single offer. I see all these things on the internet that, hey, you need to counter. You have to counter. No, you don't. If you get an offer, because who decides what's fair? You do. And if you get an offer and you're excited to work from the company and it's above what you thought it was going to be and everything sounds right, hey, accept it. Right? Caveat, unless it's an employment agreement, definitely get with ourselves or an employment attorney. But your everyday general offer, hey, if you get it and you think it's good and you're all happy, then take it. It's okay. Most of the times, though, you'll negotiate it. So
a lot of emotion comes with money, doesn't it, Tim? People get very emotional about this. So the reason he's saying, like, slow down a minute, like, try your best to sleep on it. Try your best to at least take a couple of hours and not go into like emotional disarray, whether that's anger, sadness, fear, whatever. And take a moment. Always take a moment.
And don't take it personal. Again, what did we say earlier? A lot of this stuff is made up. So if it's a lot less than you thought it was going to be, hey, numbers are just, right? That's why we have to build value during it. So hey, so some tips to recap, okay? Remember, check episode 30 for specific tips on exactly what to do, but we really wanted to get into what are the other important factors. Say, your mindset affects it. How do I know what a fair offer is? Start thinking about that right now. Like, hey, I'm a director. Hey, what would a fair offer be if I got accepted as a VP? What have my friends made? Maybe do market research, kind of call on a couple of your friends. You probably have friends in that area, right? They will typically tell you how much they make. It's okay to ask people, hey, Christina, how much you make? Derek, how much you make? It's okay. Number three, always negotiate by email and get help. And number four, hey, sleep on it. and know when to negotiate. Know when to negotiate. And if you bombed a lot of these interviews and you tripped and you did this, you might just want to accept that offer and not worry about the extra 20K, right? So see how so many factors go into this. Also, you can go over to, I think it's $19.99, I think. You can go over to execupgrades.com/resources, I believe. If not, go to execupgrades.com, click the little thing at the very top, go to like career resource library. We have an ebook, the salary negotiation ebook. You should definitely get that. It might be free. I think it's either free, $5 or $20. Either way, good investment to your career. Christina, closing comments.
Well, I'm going to close with this, Rachel, because I noticed you said you wanted more work-life balance. And I used to struggle with this all the time. That word balance brings like so much pressure. So anybody listening that's like, okay, I want work-life balance, I like to use the term work-life harmony. So especially if you're going into a role that is demanding or you are in a leadership role, there is a way for your life and your work to coexist to where you don't feel like you're really great at one or the other. You can be great at both. Again, stay tuned for my mindset workshop on July 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern to 4 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to be talking about all things abundance, all things work-life balance. I wrote an entire book, The Fearless Executive, about struggling with work-life balance, which ultimately says you're trying to be perfect. We don't want that. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a good day. Bye, everyone.